الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما، والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما. صدق الله العلي العظيم. As we were discussing yesterday, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have got certain qualities. The first quality was tawadu, humility. And the second quality was of forgiveness, overlooking. Whether it comes to their wives, the person overlooks, forgives, he doesn't become angry, he learns how to control his anger. He has the quality of hilm and forbearance. And the quality of forgiveness, making people maaf. And tonight is the 27th night on the 15th of Shaban. A person who's got kinai, malice, enmity for anybody, he doesn't forgive his brothers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive that person. So our hearts have to become open and clean. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he had this quality. So whenever there was a fight, any problem, he used to always overlook, make maaf. And any of his right also, he used to let it go. And he used to always remember this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quoted, that أَنَ زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسْتِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْحَقِّ وَهُوَ مُحِقٌ. That Allah ta'ala says that I take guarantee. On Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I take guarantee for a house in the middle of Jannah for a person who leaves out his haqq and right. He is on the right, but he leaves it out. لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَهُوَ مُحِقٌ. He leaves out the fight while he is on haqq. And he used to also quote Lama Zuhri rahmatullahi alayhi, who said, الْمِرَاءَ fighting fi din, I can't remember the exact word, it distinguishes the nur of iman in a person. When a person starts fighting and arguing, it distinguishes the nur of iman in a person. So he used to always say this hadith. So he himself practically, his family says, that so many times we saw Mufti Saab, if somebody fights with him, he says, you know what, I made a mistake, maaf, you're right. As long as it wasn't a matter of deen, of shariat, anything personal, he used to say, no, I think I made a mistake. So much so that once, that time as Mufti Shafi Saab rahmatullahi moved to Pakistan, so he was starting to build a madrasa. He had a small house, and now the madrasa was getting bigger, so they needed a big property. So the government gave them a very, very nice property in the middle of Karachi. And he had a committee also, they worked on it. They were now having an opening of the madrasa. They called many ulama. And Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah's cover was right near there, across the road there. Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani was his ustad. So some people who didn't like Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah, they got together and they started making objection against this place. And they got some influential people also to speak against Mufti Sahib. And amongst them was Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah's widow. So because he was his ustad's wife also. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah, first he tried to speak to them, tried to explain to them, but they still continue to fight. So then Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah said, I'm not fighting now. Any madrasa built, the bunyad and the basis of it is in fighting, how can there be barakah and blessings in that day? So I'm leaving it out. So the committee got upset. And as we got the property, we got the land, we got the papers, everything we got. And you leaving out the property, in the middle of Karachi, you'll never get a property like this. He said, you are telling me I'm going to lose out a property in the middle of Karachi, but my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised me a property in the middle of Jannah. I'm going to get a house in the middle of Jannah if I leave out this fight. So I don't want the property. You want to build a madrasa, you build it, but I'm not part of it. And then he moved to Korangi. That time Korangi was in the middle of a jungle. There was no cars, couldn't go there. It was very, very difficult to go there. Mufti Saab started his madrasa very, very small. And today, mashallah, one of the biggest madrasas in Pakistan. Ikhlas and sincerity. Once, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah, his house, he had a house, they had the papers, everything. The neighbor, the drainage of the neighbor was passing by his house. So Mufti Sahib rahmatullah wanted to extend his house. So the neighbor said, that is just my property. And he had the papers, the municipal papers, showing also it's his property. And now that person is arguing, it is my property. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah said, okay, if it's your property, you keep it as it's your property. I don't want to fight. And I don't want to go to court and fight with you people. So then he extended the house, the room became very, very small now. It was not very comfortable, but still, he didn't want to go to fight. Eventually, that person comes to him after a few months and says, you know what, I'm prepared to sell it to you. His own land. So Mufti Sahib said, okay, I don't mind, I'll pay for the thing. So he bought the property, and then he extended the room and made it comfortable. But imagine, I mustn't fight with anybody. So this is where إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامَ. When somebody of ignorance comes and fights with a person, argues, person overlooks. And he says what? To remove the fighting and the argument. And he tries to show muhabbat and love to one another, the quality of hilm. On this point, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah in Bayan al-Quran, he got there. This doesn't mean now a person has tawazu, humility, he doesn't fight with people, that now he mustn't make islah of people, he mustn't correct people. He said that's excluded from there. But look how now a person must make islah, how he must reform. So Hazrat Thani rahmatullah Ali says, in another place, he says if somebody does wrong, and Hazrat Thani rahmatullah used to get Ajib people coming to him. One day one person comes to him, all jihad people, ignorant people. He comes now with a basket of food, a basket of fruit. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah is making wudu. So he says, Hazrat, where must I put this? Hazrat said, put it on my head. So he took it, he put it on Hazrat's head. So the murid got angry. What's wrong with you? How can you put it on Hazrat's head? So he said, no, I told him I must put it on my head. You know, these people, their thinking is like that. So people of that kind of mentality used to come to Hazrat Thani rahmatullah Ali. So he says that when I make Islam for a person, I reform to shout somebody also. Two thoughts come in my mind. The first, he says, that I am the Jallad. This person is the prince, the king's son. Allah Ta'ala's banda and servant, he's the king's son. So I am the Jallad. The king told me now I must punish this person. So I punish him because it's the command of the king. It's the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I must punish, shout that person. I must correct him. Because it's the command. If I don't shout him, I get in trouble. And if I exceed the bounds also, I'll also get in trouble. So I keep that in mind, number one. And he says, number two, while I'm shouting that person, I'm making dua in my heart for that person also. I make dua that Allah Ta'ala reform this person, Ya Allah, this weakness that person has got. So it's very easy to hit a person, to shout a person, but many times it's done for our own nafs. May Allah protect and save us. Even when a person, our buzurgs have taught us that when we are correcting somebody, the thought the person is to have at that time, so he doesn't get the holier than thou attitude. I can just shout this person, I can, whether it's our own children also. As Mufti Shafizah rahmatullah alayhi used to say that the thing I fear the most is to make oppression on a nabalik child. He said because a balik person can still make you maaf, it's accepted. But the person who's got balik, and you oppress that person, you see the consequences are very, very great. Even our own children, Allah forgive us, Allah Ta'ala protect us. Our Buzuruf say when a person is angry, he mustn't even hit at that time. You have to wait till the anger subsides, goes away. Then you must think properly what punishment must I give that person. And then you must hit the person also, not exceeding the bounds. Some of these have said three times, not more than three times. And then also whether if you're giving with a cane, also it mustn't leave such marks on the body which can't be removed, like it cuts through the skin, etc. Even like mention how a person must hit a person. So and you can't hit on the head, you can't hit a person on the face. Stand out of anger a person, only when your anger has cooled down. These are all the conditions. We just think this is my child, I can do whatever I want to with him. We are making zulam on the child. May Allah protect and save us, and this is something we should ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, Lord. And as soon as our children become baligh also, when they're not baligh, they say they are buzruq, baligh, they say they are buzruq, baligh, they say they are buzruq, we're so frightened, we don't know how, what's the solution for that day. So a person must continuously ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So this is the second quality, إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Number three, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. The true servants and the servants of Rahman are those people who they spend the night in sajda and qiyam before their Rabb, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think of the favors and ihsans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is a person stands for thawab, is very, very mubarak and blessed. But Ya Allah, you do it li rabbihim, in front of their Rabb, creator and sustainer. What we can understand from here is they've got the quality of shukr. Salah, it has to be in every person's life, five times salah. And every one of us must check ourselves, our five times salah, we are performing it. And with Takbir-e-Ula also, we should try our utmost. Namaz with Jamaat. And every one of us has come to the khank of our Islah. Let us look at our past life. Many of us have got Qadha Namazes. How can we fulfill all our Qadha Namazes, what we have left out? Many a person, after 10 years, 15 years, he changes his life. But then he forgets about the past. And now a person has got problems in life. He's thinking, why the problems are not coming? I'm a pious person. He doesn't think of the debt which he has got. You owe somebody money. As our Mashaykh tell us, a beautiful example. You owe somebody 100,000 rand. Now you come, you're giving his children sweets. You're giving them stock sweets. You're giving them all the comes. And you think, I'm making this person very happy. But you're not talking about the 100,000 rand. So our person is becoming pious. He's reading Nafal Namazes. But his first Namaz which he owes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the 100,000 rand. He's not talking about that. So this should actually create within us an awareness that I must try to correct myself. My qaza salahs have got 10, 15 years. Inshallah, if we get time to Tawfiq tomorrow, we will discuss it in the morning program. How must a person cover up for this year? But this is of very, very, very great importance before going to Nafil. Nafil is very, very important. That's extra. But the first is our faraz. And then the servants of Rahman are those together with their faraiz. As Imam Abraham al-Hassab rahmatullah alayhi says, that those who are performing tahajjud namaz, then inshallah, there's great hope he'll be performing all his other faraz namaz. So, Ya Allah says, my special bandas are those who are performing tahajjud namaz. And they are standing out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof for this is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to stand so long in salah that eventually his legs used to become swollen up.
And many of our kabir, Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi, he was in a hafiz of Quran, but he said many people standing in front the whole night in Ramadan. He must read Quran Sharif. One day one person got tired. He wasn't tired, he was feeling so sorry for Hazrat. He told Hazrat, you know what, I'm not feeling well today. So he said, Hazrat will get some rest. So Hazrat said, no, go rest, you must go and rest. He wakes up in the night, he sees Hazrat pressing his legs. What a shock of his life. Hazrat said, every day you're standing for me, and I can at least make some khidmat for you. He was embarrassed, he felt so embarrassed in my ustad, my sheikh. So anyhow, he stand the whole night, his legs used to become swollen, and he used to cry, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you gave me the tawfiq to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my legs can become swollen. We always look for the sweet sunnah, as our Shaykh said, that we're always looking second wife, third wife, we only know those sunnahs. But when it comes to this sunnah, our legs become swollen. So long they used to stand up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand up, they asked him, O Nabi of Allah, your past sins and your future sins, all your sins, there are no sins for the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, but whatever mistakes and errors also, they are all forgiven. Why are you doing this? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفَلَا كُنُوا عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this tahajjud actually is a salat of gratitude. That Ya Allah, your favors upon me are so much that a person stands up in tahajjud namaz. And many of our kabir, subhanAllah, we read their life stories. When our Qasim al-Nawtawi rahmatullah alayhi, after Isha namaz, Allahu Akbar, spike al-fajr namaz. It was a normal ma'amul. As the Mu'ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, from 12 o'clock his tahajjud used to start. He used to continue till fajr. Rashid Ahmad Dongoy rahmatullah alayhi, 6 hours, 5 hours of tahajjud namaz. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, 10 faras in tahajjud namaz. SubhanAllah, how they fulfill the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're very, very far from the death. But Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayhi said, you see, we are for the weak people. So he said, even if a person reads the 4 rakats of tahajjud namaz, we are very, very weak. But inshallah, we've got a hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our buzurg, Hazrat Munashaki, Muhammad Afsar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, used to quote this hadith very often. عليكم قيام الليل. It holds firmly onto قيام الليل, standing up at night. فإنه دأب الصالحين قبلكم. This is the path and the tariqah of the salihin, the pious people before you. And Marab Rabu Hassab rahmatullah alayhi used to say, he said that this is the way of the pious people before you, the past ummat. Allah is saying you are the best of ummat. The past ummat are doing it, why can't you do it also? Because you are the best of ummat, I've given you the greatest amount of bounties. So if the past people used to do it, you also people must do it also. Make it part of your habit and your nature. And the da'bu salihin, it is the way of the salihin. As Mawlana Shahaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, Allah inspired me with that knowledge through the khidmat of making khidmat of my buzruks and elders. So I haven't seen this in any kitab. You see, when a person does this, he makes mushabahat, he imitates the pious people. The pious people are reading it, so I'm imitating them. I'm also reading tahajjud. And man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever you imitate, you are amongst them. So inshallah, Allah will regard you amongst the pious people. He said, in the whole world, tonight in Ramadan, the whole world, 1 billion Muslims are performing salah. And in their salah, they'll be reading, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Allah's special salamati and peace and mercy be upon us, and upon all the salihin, all the pious people in the world. Now, because you have joined yourself with the pious people, you imitated them, and you are amongst them. So when they are making dua, even the person who hates you, your enemy, he's making dua in salah, he's making dua for you also. And all the awliya of the world, everyone is making dua, just because of you reading tahajjud namaz. So he says, what a great bargain this is. So when a person reads tahajjud salah, this is one very great benefit a person will get. He will be regarded amongst the pious people in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهِيَ قُرْبَةٌ لَكُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. It is a means of getting great closeness right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will reach the threshold, the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reading tahajjud salah. And it is مَكْفَرَةٌ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ. It is a means of expiation of a person's gunas and sins. Whatever sins a person has done, forgiveness takes place. A person's sins are forgiven. وَمَنْ هَاتٌ عَنِ الْإِثْمِ. That's the past. And in the future, it's a powerhouse to prevent a person with the means of prevention from gunas and sins. So a person in future, inshallah, will be able to stay away from sins. This will create power, spiritual power within a person. A person will be able to abstain from gunas and sins. And in the one narration of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu and Bilal radiallahu anhu, وَمَتْرَدَةٌ it's a removal of lidai anil jasad, from sicknesses from the body. This five, the fourth benefit, it will remove sicknesses from a person's body. Tahajjud salah and fasting also, but tahajjud salah in the hadith comes, it will remove sicknesses from a person's body. One is physical sicknesses also, it will great health it has when a person performs tahajjud namaz. And together with the day, it's the means of removing physical bimaris. Spiritual sicknesses from a person also. Once one person in our area, Ustaz Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahib came, so he was asking him, Hazrat, how you make travel? Because Hazrat has got a sugar and still traveling, he has like 5-6 programs in a day, going to England and these countries, keeping Rosa for 18 hours. And how you manage this here? As Muhammad Rahman Tafsir Tajud Namaz. It gives you amazing strength. So this Tajud Namaz gives a person spiritual strength. So that's Alaykum bi Qiyam al-Layl. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hold firm onto this Qiyam al-Layl. And in some narrations it comes that even if it's one rakat also, even though you can't read one rakat, just to show the emphasis that even if it's one rakat, if a person could read, he must read that one rakat. So Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq. Then our Buzruq said to make it even easier, Tahajjud, the best time is definitely the last portion of the night. That's the time when Allah Ta'ala's special mercy is coming down and Allah's special rahmat is coming down, the last one third of the night. But our elders say that Tahajjud Namaz actually starts, Qiyamul Layl starts immediately after the Isha Salah. A person that is four farz of Isha, two rakat sunnah muakkada, and day after immediately Tahajjud Namaz time starts. Obviously the best is our Buzruqs have taught us very, very beautifully. They say that the Tahajjud at the time of 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock is like biryani. And the time of 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock is like dal and rice, dal and rice. Now a person with the hope of eating biryani, he doesn't stay hungry. He eats the dal and rice. And then if his eyes will open up, automatically it will open up also when he gets the smell of biryani. So he wake up by that time and he eats the biryani also. And if he miss the biryani, at least he eats the dal and rice also. He won't remain hungry, he won't die. So a person at least, if you're not waking up at the early portion of the morning, at least after Isha Salah, read 2 rakats of Salah, read 4 rakats of Salah. In one narration it comes, whoever reads 4 rakats after Isha Salah, he will get the thawab of Laylatul Qadr. So every night a person can get the thawab of Laylatul Qadr. Read out 2 sunnah al muakkada, read 4 rakats thereafter. For the intention of Qiyamul Layl, every night inshallah you will get the thawab of Laylatul Qadr. SubhanAllah, how easy our deen is. So every night we read these 4 rakats, and then we wake up later on also, mashallah, very mubarak and blessed. And we should try to increase ourselves, not that I'm happy now I'm reading the 4 rakats, but the person tries to increase himself. And the main thing is that this namaz is a salat of shukr, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah's great, great bounties. And it's a great means of building our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah mentions sujjadan, ya in sajda. Because the closest a person can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when a person is in sajda. That's one narration. Another narration comes, the closest a banda and servant is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when a person is in making qiyamul layl. When a person is standing up in tahajjud salat. And a third narration comes also in the Quran Sharif, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah is very, very close to a person when he's making dua. So there's three things we can combine it. Reading the tahajjud namaz, and in sajda also, and a person can make dua there also. Don't make dua in English. Make dua only from the Quran and sunnah duas. But make dua. رَبَّنَا هَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَاعْفُ عَنِّي. And make dua in great, great abundance. As Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangawi rahmatullah alayhi mentions, one of the akabir of Deoband, Yadina Alim, on Hafiz Sahib, he said he used to make sajda very, very long. People used to get angry with him. In namaz also, farz namaz, one day somebody gave him one kick. He said, oh, I must have fallen asleep when he came out. He said, I must have fallen asleep. Somebody asked him after, why you make so long sajdas? He said, when I go into sajda, I think to myself, what a ni'mat Allah has given me. And I say, what if I don't ever get an opportunity to make another sajda in my life again? So I just carry on making subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Because if I wake up and I don't get a chance again, so I just carry on making long, long sajdas. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the reality of this. So this is the third quality of the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That outwardly in the daytime, they've got good akhlaq and character with people. But in the night, they exceed themselves. They are making tahajjud salat. They're getting the closest and they're drawing closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the fourth quality Allah mentions, that after doing all of this, they don't get pride within themselves. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. They say, oh Allah Ta'ala, remove from us the azab of Jahannam. That my amal, so much of tahajjud I made. Qiyamul layl is so much. Which inshallah we will discuss a bit more tomorrow in detail. That naz, there's no pride in arrogance in a person. But the other point also here which we learn from here is that the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make a lot of dua. They've got the quality of dua within their lives. After doing all of the ibadat, they don't trust on the ibadat. They are turning in attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which our Buzruqs tell us that every one of us is a beggar in the court of Allah ta'ala. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Oh people, every one of you is a beggar. And we are professional beggars. That is why Munashaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi used to say that Allah has given us our begging bowl. Every person. And his begging bowl is with him. A beggar normally has his begging bowl for 10 hours, for 8 hours, 6 hours. But our begging bowl is 24 hours with us. Even in the middle of the night, a person wakes up, he's got his begging bowl. Just put your two hands together. And our begging bowl also is all, it's not in a straight line. So some person comes with a very smart bowl, you feel doubtful about that person. They'll be coming with a broken bowl, all completely jagged. And then there's a big hole in between there also. please put, oh Allah Ta'ala, please put Lot inside. Because a little bit will fall through. So if Lot comes, Allah will give us far, far greater. So we are coming with our begging bowl before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the hands we must use to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the thing we should ask Allah ta'ala is, ask Allah ta'ala for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here these people are asking, not only for things of dunya, we should ask for things of dunya, but this thing, this thing, Allah save us from the fire of Jahannam. That is where the mind is going in the du'as. So in du'as, the first thing we should ask Allah ta'ala is for the great, great bounties of akhirat, for the ni'mat of akhirat, for deen to come into our lives, for the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah must give us that ability and strength to stay away from sins. We are fully involved in sins, but Allah has got the great, great power. Allah ta'ala can remove us from sins. We ourselves are weak, we cannot do anything, but Allah's power is very, very great. When we are lifting up our hands, we are saying, oh Allah, my power is useless, I am hopeless, I am zero. Your power is very, very great. Oh Allah, we are asking from that treasury which will never ever come to an end. And no matter how much a person can ask, it comes in the hadith, that if the whole world gets together and ask Allah Ta'ala whatever they want to, and Allah grants everybody whatever he wants, still to the treasures of Allah will never ever come to an end. Allah Umar Safanpuri Rahmatullah used to say that there are five ways in which Allah Ta'ala accepts a person's dua. So ask how much you want to ask. And many of our elders, how much they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yunus Patel Sahib used to mention many times this incident when he went with Haji Bhai Fadiya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali the first time in Jamaat. He said 2 hours every morning Haji Bhai Fadiya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to wake up and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And he used to cry for the ummah, he used to cry. And what he said, those tears, today we see the effect. One masjid in that place, there's a madrasa in that place, people have come onto deen in that place. The tears which he made, 2 hours of dua he used to make. So how much of dua they make? So don't get, when the Sahaba heard about the virtues of dua, they said, oh Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we're going to make Lord dua. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will give you much, much more. You carry on making dua, don't stop your dua. Allah will give you so much. So as Mala Umar Sahib used to say, the 5 ways Allah accepts the dua. The first way Allah accepts the dua, as soon as you ask Allah, Allah gives you immediately. You just made dua now and suddenly the thing comes to a person. So this is one way Allah accepts dua. The second way Allah Ta'ala accepts his dua is you make dua now, but Allah wants to see you crying and asking Allah Ta'ala more and more. So Allah doesn't accept it right now, but Allah delays you. Allah wants you to turn more and more towards him. But after 1 year, 1 week, Allah says it's not appropriate for my banda and servant. The child comes to ask the father, Abba, I want a car. Father says, my son, you're only 16 years old. You'll cause an accident. The police will lock you up. I'll get in trouble. So the father waits 2 years. After 2 years, he brings the keys. The son doesn't even ask. The father hands it, puts it in his hands. So we're asking Allah Ta'ala for something. Allah doesn't give it now, but Allah will give it after 2 years, 3 years. You carry on making dua. The third way Allah accepts a person's dua is a person asks Allah Ta'ala for something. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give the person what he asked for, but Allah gives him something which is far better than that. A lot of times the person wants a certain thing. The child wants a motorbike. The father knows my son will ride that motorbike and cause the accident. He got no control over it. The father buys him a Ferrari. So sometimes we are asking Allah, ya Allah, I want to get married to that woman. Many, this is the common one. People say, I'll get married to that woman. Then they feel so depressed after that, I didn't get married to that woman. Then after 5 years, you find out, hey, that lucky I never got married. She killed her husband. Imagine what would have happened to me. So then you make shukar. One of my cousins wanted to get married. He was very desperate. He had a divorce. He went through. And then very long he tried to get married. He's making so much of dua. Then he really liked one girl. He went and proposed there. She rejected him. He was upset about it. Then she was proposed to someone else. And then she met in an accident just before her nikah day. 1 or 2 days before that she passed away. Then he told me, you know how much of shukar I made after that. He said, I would have gone into very big depression if I had got married to her. And that was the time for her mort. What should have happened to me? So we don't know. Always Allah put something better for us. So Allah will give a person something far, far better. He made dua now, Allah will give him something better. The fourth thing is, a person makes dua for something, there is a calamity which has to come in that person's life. But Allah Ta'ala removes the calamity from that person. The dua is going up, the calamity is coming. And they are both fighting. And till the day of Qiyamah, they continue fighting. You get saved from an accident. You say, just for 1 second I got saved. Just for 1 second, your dua came, or somebody's pious dua came, and Allah Ta'ala protected and saved you because of that day. This is the fourth way. And the fifth way is, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will see the effects. Allah Ta'ala will tell his banda, my servant, you asked for this, I gave you this. You asked for this, I gave you this. You asked for these things, I didn't give you in the dunya, but here's the reward for it. And the person will say, ya Allah, so much of reward, why you accepted any of my duas in this world? I wish I had all the duas only left aside for the day of Qiyamah. So many times we might not see our effects of our duas in this world. Outwardly we might not see it. But what is thought for us in the akhirat, a person can never ever imagine. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us the tawfiq and ability. And we sometimes also in certain narrations ask the bandas and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask firstly our spiritual guide, our sheikh, and all other brothers in Allah to make dua for this sinful one also. And we make dua for all of us, one another. Make abundance of dua. The great benefit of making dua for others is one angel on our side. You're making dua for someone else, the angel is saying Ameen for you. So you're getting the dua first also. So not with that intention, but we should make dua for one another also. Inshallah, this is the night of great duas. Every night also, not only tonight. We should take our time every day to make dua. This is a khas, special quality of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The quality of dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us the tawfiq and ability. Wa akhiru da'wana.